Hello, cyclocross friends, and welcome to episode 135 of Cyclocross Radio. On today's show, it's They Don't Do That in Europe with Scott Diedenbach and Mr. David Palin, and we are going to talk about something. I don't know. You'll find out as soon as I find out. This is brought to you by the Wide Ankle Podium Podcast Network, which Cyclocross Radio is a part of, and also the Bike Shop CX is a part of, and the Slow Ride Podcast is a part of, and Consummate Athlete, and you should listen to all of those shows, and then you should become a member at the Wide Angle Podium. And this is the most important thing you should know. I'm not doing this intro separate, and this is the most quiet that you will hear both Scott and David, because they're right here. Hey, Scott.
It's almost like my mic doesn't work.
Start the show.
I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
You're supposed to say what you always say. It's a TDDTIE. How many times? How many pre-show meetings do we have to sit through before? I mean, come on.
Can we just edit one of those into this?
No.
Okay.
No. Right. Okay. Wait. Hang on. All right. I'm gonna hand over the show to Scott Diedenbach, and I'm gonna do that right now.
All right, we are back for another edition of TDDTIE. They Don't Do That in Europe. With me, as always, Mr. David Palin in the center.
Hey, guys. So good to be back. I'm in the center?
Yeah, with a new icon, full-on Mo going with the eyebrows. I like it.
Eyebrow, yeah.
And floating above our heads, as always, Bill Shiken, Mr. CX Hairs himself.
Hey, Scott.
Bill, you started all this.
It's all I wanted. All I wanted was just that intro part, and then I think we can just call it a show, and then we'll be back.
Turn
we'll be back next week or so, or in a couple weeks for our Worlds preview.
People always complain about the shows being too long. Well, here you go. This will bring our average down to 40 minutes with a three-minute show.
So you can find me at...
I think we were going to just chit-chat about the upcoming Cyclocross UCI National Championship weekend that we got coming up, right?
Right, yeah. You know, we already had U.S. and Australia and New Zealand and Canada, and didn't we have, like, Slovakia, I think, also did their national championships?
Yeah, there's been a few, actually. Slovakia was one that was kind of, like, on a really weird date. But yeah, there was a few. Canada. Did you mention Canada?
I did. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But this is the big weekend, right? Most of the European countries are this weekend, right?
Right.
And we're just going to kind of run through them and chit chat with thoughts, comments, concerns, whatever. Right.
Yeah.
Japan had theirs December 9th.
Okay.
There you go. All right. Czech was December 15th. U.S.
No, but
December
I don't
16th.
Think that was not. Look at that Czech one, because we talked about this. That was just the juniors.
Oh, you're right.
Because that is one. Here, we can talk about this
Maybe
one.
Maybe their elite national championship should be in the U.S.
Yeah, there you go. Move them over. Switch it all around. So here,
what were you
I was going to talk just briefly, since this is kind of the... Guys, we got no plan here. We're just shooting.
We're flying
from
by the seat of our pants.
That too.
It's a show about nothing.
Boom, 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 boom. The Czech men's race. Everybody excited about the Czech men's race. I feel for Michael Boros.
Yeah.
Here's a guy who's having a great year, who's up there every race, who all of a sudden is playing second fiddle to Stibar because he's, you know, been mid-pack a couple races and has decided he wants to race the Czech national championship. Here is my prediction that Stibar doesn't get within 30 seconds of Boros in this race.
And what about Tupolik?
Is he an elite now?
His racing age is 23.
So, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Now, Kopecky's still going to be racing in the U23s, but Tupolik, he can give Stibar a run for his money, too. I mean, depending on the course. I haven't seen the course. Depending on the weather and how hard these guys want to push to say, yeah, everybody's crazy about Zdenek except us.
Here's something. So you ready for this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Michael Boros is ranked the highest in the world at 17th. And then below him is Jan Nesvadba at 28th. Mm. Below him,
never, don't even know that name,
is Tomas Parpska at 47th. Below him is Emil Hekele. He's the one guy I do know only because he races in Japan. So I saw him race at Nobuyama. He's at 49th. And then at 59th is Tupolev. And then at 228th, although he moved up this week from 231st, is Zelenek Štybar.
I mean, that's kind of the Katie Compton in the last row theory at U.S. Nationals.
He is 228th.
Okay.
So he is, unless under U.S. criteria, he would have to be considered medal capable or he would not make the team.
He would not. You're right. Did you say, are you saying that with some?
I am just quoting facts.
Right.
Is he going to Worlds?
You know what's interesting is that Martin Bina is still on here.
I
didn't realize he still raced. But he's 383rd. Maybe it's one of those things where, you know, like Niels Albert still shows up as a ranked rider.
Some legacy points still kicking around there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, while we're still talking about the Czech nationals, what do we know? Is Katarina over there?
I do not know.
Any ideas on that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just curious.
She's racing.
I mean, because she's up there, and then, of course, Havlikova would be the other one that jumps to mind, right?
Yeah.
Paulina Havlikova, as far as the Czech women, the names that we see or hear the most. So
yeah, let me see if there's anybody we're missing. Mm-mm. See, look at this. We're already like, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes in. You know, we again, Scott, you're like, I don't know what we're gonna talk about, and we
started
out
rat hole
and we're on the Czech Republic cyclocross national championship. So
we're looking at the top 100. Czech Republic women cyclocross racers. How awesome.
So
is
you're
that?
Right.
Katarina Nash is currently ranked 22nd in the world.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that she will definitely be there. Just
right.
She
I don't
could
know if she's going. Yeah, yeah.
So it really, if you're looking at favorites, it's between her and Havlikova, who's ranked 20th in the world. Then you go down to 37th for Jana Čekakarova, and then 62nd for Nikola Bazgarova.
Mm-hmm.
I'm nailing these names. I'm just
you are.
Them.
You are. I'm just glad 60, I don't have to.
65th, Elizabeth Ungermanova. I'm gonna stop there.
But Jana, the one you Čekakarova, she's only 22 though, so she might
not
even be.
Well,
in
that's
elite,
that's
so.
Actually kind of the cool thing with this. So you have her. You have Nicola in 62nd, she's 22nd. Under her, Elizabeth Ungermanova is 20. And then Magdalena Misanova is 18. So, and they're all, you know, within the top 70 in the world. So actually, Czech women look pretty good coming up.
Yeah, that's a strong field for sure.
You yeah.
know, that could be a good race.
We got another 19-year-old down there in 85th. It's really interesting, Scott. It's a really, really young field that they have down to, you know, 150th in the world if we're again going by US cyclocross requirements.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll see some
that's
of
like
these.
That's like the new Mendoza line.
Right. The new Mendoza line. But yeah, you know, and again, we're talking about the strength of women's cyclocross. Hopefully this just continues to add to that wave of incoming young women riders that we were talking about the other day, Bill.
Yep.
So, and Belgium is very lacking in this category. So
let's go to the Belgian women.
All right.
This would be Sanne Kant's 10th national championship.
Is she second after Katie Compton as far as consecutive national championships? I bet she is.
I bet she is too.
Yeah,
she is too. That'd be interesting to look at. But that's pretty amazing.
So who realistically has a chance of beating her? I mean, I think Lois Sell's got to be the first name that you think of, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Ellen Van Loy.
I don't know. I mean, I'm a big Ellen Van Loy fan. I think she's going to give her a run for her money in the first couple of laps, but I don't know that she can beat her.
No, I don't think Ellen will beat her, but as far as realistically has a chance, I think Ellen Van Loy and Verdonchot is the other one.
Yeah, now Verdonchot, she's been struggling with the knee injury, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So she's such a wild card in this.
Yeah.
Because you just don't know. And maybe this will be it. You know, maybe she comes around for this race. And then we've seen Sané Khan get beaten. I think that this isn't Worlds. This is a little easier field for her to deal with. And it's also, if you saw the Belgian national track, I think it's going to really play into her strengths. They're saying it's a heavy course. So it's a lot of power and a lot of sort of, you know, technical close maneuvering. So I think that all plays into her hand.
What about Kim Vandersteen? She had a great couple of early races and then we haven't heard much from her. Maybe she's looking for that double peak, right? Early and late.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? She had the phenom of the early season and then
Denise Betsema happened and everyone forgot about the other phenoms.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, I think the other thing, you know, for Sané Khan, you know, after the rainbow jersey, this is probably the next most sought after jersey in cyclocross. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would be the Belgian national jersey. So, you know, you're thinking if Worlds is so wide open for the women this year, if something were to happen and she were not to repeat as world champion, this would be, she's going to have a strong, you know, drive to win this, Sané Khan. Not that she wouldn't anyways, but this is like the next best thing after Worlds.
But this happens before Worlds.
Yeah, true. Yeah, but that, I mean, she's just going to be, she's going to be very hungry to win this, I think.
Yeah,
on the world's field if she doesn't win this.
But she's, according to her, she's like, it'd be really nice to win it, but it's not as important as what's to come, which, of course, is the case. But
that's true.
I always look at it, I always used to joke about Sven Nys and winning the Belgian national championship before Worlds, that was his fallback, his safety school, and that he had the pressure was on so that he didn't have to wear the ugly Krelin or whatever kit from the time, because they had those like weird green and yellow kits.
Yeah.
Like I think I feel like for him, like the pressure was on not because of the prestige of the race. It was like I don't want to go back to that team kit.
It's just ugly. Yeah. I look so bad in green.
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know, but I think, like I said, I think she, if nothing else, if winning this would certainly make her, do you think it would give her less pressure going into Worlds or more if she were to repeat as
I don't
Belgian
think either.
National
I don't think it has think, any yeah. factor. Really.
I agree with Bill. I think there's tremendous pressure on this from the Belgians, and then, but on her own personal pressure scale, I think that Worlds is going to have at least as much pressure on it.
But think about if Sané Khan did not win this weekend, right?
Yeah.
You don't think that would be more pressure going into Worlds?
I think it would be more, but I think that she already has a ton of pressure on her, especially since I think that there is this all hands on deck with Belgian cycling that they are losing ground to the Dutch across the board, and especially in the women's field. And I think it's something that they finally are taking seriously, that they need to bolster their women's program to get back into contention in all their fields.
Yeah.
I mean, to your point, Scott, I think in some sense it does put more pressure on her if she loses this one to win Worlds. But by winning this one, it does not relieve the pressure on her to win Worlds.
Yes, that I would agree with. Yeah, I think she's going to have the pressure for Worlds no matter what. But imagine if she didn't. I mean, because if she doesn't win this and then doesn't win Worlds, she's got neither. So that would be that would be a lot of press in Belgium.
Yeah. Well, here's something. Here's I think where you can see where there's been a sea change in Belgian cycling, and actually how it's covered too, which is even more important. I think that's what it comes down to. This isn't like, you know, a purely altruistic thing where they're like, oh, well, we got to, you know, make more opportunities for women cyclists. It's like, ooh, we got to make sure that we, you know, keep making money. And it seems like this is getting more popular. So we need to be the best here too.
Right.
Veldekrant.be, another site that I look at a lot for cyclocross news. One of the headlines, four candidates for the title, you know, or four people fighting for the title in the junior women. That's a headline.
Yeah, that's very unusual.
Yeah, that they're going that deep and looking at a category that, you know, years ago they didn't even want to exist. And now it's like, oh, we got to go down and look and see who's going to win this exciting junior women's race is, I think, pretty impressive change.
Yeah it's a good change for sure, because those that they deserve that press, but it's good to see it actually happen. So yeah, well, maybe, you know, if they create, the thing is, because this is such a huge thing in Belgium, if they start promoting U23 women's cyclocross right now, they will very quickly become highly competitive in it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's not like it's not like they have to build some kind of, you know, momentum in a U23 women's program. If they decide it, it's going to be, they're going to be really good at it really quickly, I think, if they really start to push it and promote it. So that's the good news,
I guess. Although if there's not been events for junior Belgian women, where are they going to get these people? They've been doing it on their own.
But because cyclocross is like one of the sports in Belgium, right? It's all their best athletes are going to just will, you know, they're just immediately be there, I think. So they could become competitive in U23 women very quickly in a few years, you know, 2-3 years, I think, if they started to promote it and support it.
Yeah, but you're right, David. But I think what the hope is that, you know, for next year, every UCI race there's a mandate to have a men's junior race, you know, across the board. So all the U.S. races, we're going to have to, you know, send to the UCI the results for our junior UCI men's race that we have to hold, which we never had to do in the past. We don't even have to do a U23 race. We just have to do a men's junior race. So I think the hope is that there's enough pressure to, once we get the separate U23 field and the separate junior women's field in Worlds, that this will sort of trickle down to that we're required to also have a women's junior field as well, which, again, not as important, I think, in the U.S. because we already do a really good job, but it'd be great to have that mandated. But just along what you're saying, David, it opens up their opportunities where those races now actually have to exist.
Yeah.
Yes. Agreed. All right.
Let's move over to the men's in Belgium. I think that's
Belgium
kind of the, yeah, that's really where one of the big, I think I would say that the two most highly anticipated races, number one would be the Dutch women, and then right after that would be the Belgian men.
I can't wait to watch that Dutch women's race.
Well, you won't be able to.
Oh. Well, that was kind of the point of
what I'm saying. What a great field. You just have to wait a long time.
Yeah. Right.
Supposedly they'll have cameras there, so I don't know if that means it's just going to be tape delayed.
Maybe it'll show up on YouTube someday.
Yeah, or just the highlights. But if you look, you know, you have to go back. I think it was 2015 was the last time they had a dedicated broadcast for Dutch nationals. And it's kind of one of those things that I look at what U.S. cyclocross nationals looks like, and just the sort of the pomp and that goes into that. And then you look at the Dutch national championship and a lot of other ones, and it's not, it's kind of, they almost look like local races. You know, it's not that same sort of, it's not as big a deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think of it in a way as like, you know, when NBA players go and play in the Olympics, right? It's like, it's not the biggest thing they can win, right? They'd trade an NBA championship for an Olympic medal, a lot of them would, right? It's not their biggest thing. And I think they look more at other things maybe than they do at their nationals, unlike, you know, and we do it the other way.
Yeah, it's almost with the almost like the continental championships, which are growing now, but I don't think that they're big. I mean, for years, I mean, look at the U.S. We've always, even though Pan Am's point wise and sort of what it does for you on a global scale is much more important. I think that if you asked many athletes, you know, would they rather win Pan Am's or a national championship, they're going to say U.S. national championship.
Yes.
Yeah, for the U.S. riders, perhaps for the Canadians, but some of the other American, North American riders, Pan Am potential riders, it'd be interesting. Yeah.
So the Belgian men.
Yeah.
If we look at the, you know, we got, of course, we got Wout, Tone, Vanthernout, Sweek, Quinten Hermans. That those in the individual rankings, that is number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Right. Right.
That is something. I mean, that's, you know, and then down farther is obviously Merlier and
Dan Sota.
Yeah, Dan Sota, and Easerbeat is top 15, but in 13th. But he's still, what's he going to do? Is he going to race?
He's 22. He can go either way.
Yeah. I don't know what he's going to do, so we'll see. Kevin Powels, he going to be in there?
He's still, I mean, it's still amazing. He's still 15th in the world. It's,
I know.
You know, and there's a guy like Johnny Vermeersch who's been just shooting up the standings, getting on the podiums. He's definitely one to watch. But yeah, I think that it really comes down to those top three. You know, it is
so Wout, Tone, and Vanthernout.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and even God, it's so hard to say because, I mean, they're all such good riders, but I think you're right. I think Wout will win it. I really do. I think he'll win it, trying to get the ship righted. And, I think this will be an important thing for him to win, even though I know they say in the press, oh, it doesn't really matter that much, you know? Yeah. But they still want to win it.
David, what if it's muddy? Does that change anything?
If it's muddy, you know,
you're gonna pick Vandahar.
Vandahar in the Belgian.
I'm just kidding.
That's, I know, that's
why,
yeah, why not?
That's why I'm kidding.
No, you like that. No, if it's muddy, I think quite frankly, I think that Sonny Gilbert takes it.
I think it's a good call. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good
call. No, I think that when you look at it, I mean, the depth go way down. It's still as strong as anything all the way into the field. You talk down as far as Kevin Powels, but Johnny Vermeersch, Tom Musen, I mean, yeah, he's always been kind of that fan favorite. He could do well in a muddy race that needs some special skills. I don't know. I don't For know, sure. But I still think you got, I think it's a Wout van Aert, Toon Aert show. And the other piece that comes into that is Quinten Hermans.
Yes,
in the Telenet Fidea Alliance team that kind of works together from time to time.
Yeah, but Quinten Hermans isn't on that team, you know, going forward. So does that change?
I did not know.
Yeah, he's leaving after the season.
Oh yeah, did he say where he's going? Do we have a?
They're starting a new team.
Indication? Or?
New team.
Oh,
yeah. But there he will be the leader. Does not want to be thought
sixth
of as
wheel
third
yeah,
banana, which I guess would mean Lars is one of the bananas ahead of him, which I think is probably a sticking point for him.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we talked about the Dutch women a bit, well, didn't we?
I would add, you know, going just the if it is muddy, I think that I would put Michael Van Toorn out as a dark horse to win. He will be my pick if it's rainy.
Yeah.
Because that guy off the bike is...
I was just going to say, are you thinking running-wise?
Insanely fast. It's just... Yes. I've seen... You know, I remember when he was... You know the fun for people who haven't, you know, followed it as long as we have, some of the most fun races are after Worlds, when all of the whippersnappers enter into the elite races. So we get like these, you know, 17, 18 year old juniors who are jumping into the elite races, and a lot of times for it's the pressure's off for the rest of the field, and they're just sort of, you know, going through the rest of their obligations for the season or racing, and that's when we would see, you know, I remember seeing Michael Van Toorn out in like this super muddy race in the end of February, just like blitzing the field and just running past everybody and going to the front. You're like, who is this toe-headed kid?
Who is this guy? And skinny. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. He was so thin. It just looked like a little frail little kid. And like you said, just running like crazy. So
I think that was even like after Wout got DQ'd. Remember that from Belgian Nationals for the U23 and then came back and just like destroyed the field like in the first.
Yeah. That was the false start or something, right?
Yep, false start that he refused to like leave and raced anyway for a lap until they like had to physically remove him from the track.
Grab him. Yeah. Oh, man. So, all right. So Dutch men. Is there, are we going to discuss the Dutch men? Are we going to give it to Vanderpool? I know David wants to pick Lars, but.
How can you not?
I would say probably Vanderpool. But even, you know, again, the Dutch, you got Vanderpool.
When you say Vanderpool, you mean David, right?
We got Michael Vanderpool, Lars Vandehaar, David Vanderpool, Corne Van Kessel. That's still a very strong.
I think that if I was going to pick somebody who was going to challenge Matthew Vanderpool, and that's almost as laughable a proposition as having U.S. cyclocross nationals in Europe, I would say. It's Joris Nieuwenhuis.
Oh,
I think he's a good pick.
Yeah, so he is super strong. He's starting to come around. You know, the crazy thing is, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at his age because I think of him because we've seen him like, you know, in the U23s and in the juniors. You're like, oh, he's just a kid. He's basically the same age as Vanderpool, as Matthew.
Yeah, he's like a year younger.
Year younger. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah, but I think he's old.
Yeah, I think he's doing really, really well. But if I had to choose a podium, I'm gonna say my dream is to see two Vanderpools on the podium.
Mm-hmm.
But I would I'd put Joris up there as well.
Okay,
Scott D, and what's your
no Vandehaar, no Cornet,
no.
Yeah, I think I would love to see. I want to see both Vanderpools in any order. I don't care. And then I'd like to see Corne Van Kessel up there. I think that would be good.
Yeah,
that's just my personal. David.
Well, you know, of course, my pick is going to include Vandehaar.
Right.
But I think that Corne Van Kessel and Matthew Vanderpool. And here's how it plays out. It comes down that Vanderpool has some mechanical, doesn't panic, but finds himself behind, at which time there's a huge attack by Corne Van Kessel. And lo and behold, no one knows it because you can't see from the head-on camera or from any angle, but Lars Vandehaar is tucked in behind him. And the two of them just go off, and at some point, one of them starts to slow down and kind of maybe interferes, not the right word, but makes it a little bit more difficult for Mr. Vanderpool to get around him.
Mm.
Interesting.
Well, this is quite a story you've concocted in your mind.
I know. I have to come up with some really crazy stories sometimes to put my man Lars Vandehaar on the podium.
So I do want to follow up on our story from a couple weeks ago with our adopted Midwest racer Ryan Camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Belgian, but I Belgian via St. Louis, according to us. He, since the new year, we lost our chance. We've waited too long. We didn't get in there into the negotiations, and now he's racing for Marlux. Yeah.
Man.
He is, by the way, like the biggest mover, I think, for Belgium. He moved up. Oh no, Mies Hendricks also moved up, but he moved up 48 spots to 170th in the world and is looking like one of the favorites for the U23 Belgian. You know who the top favorite, I mean for Dutch, you know who the top favorite is for the Dutch U23?
Who would that be?
Title?
Is that Arnesman?
Friend of the show.
Oh, Jens Dekker, yeah.
Yeah, oh, of course, duh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What other nationals did we want to look at?
We talked kind of in the abstract about the Dutch women, but we haven't spoken.
No, we haven't. We have
point
to go
by
and
point
do
about
that
them
for sure.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah. I totally missed that. So, how do you pick anybody for this? Right? I mean, it's just, you know.
What do we know? What
you can
Alvarado
draw
is going to be
names
racing?
She's racing U23.
Okay.
Oh
yeah,
no! For this, I don't know. Is she racing U23 for nationals? See, that's just where
I don't know. That's the question I'm asking.
I think that she is racing U23 for nationals as well. We know she's doing it for worlds. But
I hope she does. I hope she does.
Let's assume, and our viewers can of course correct us when we're wrong, just like anything else.
They can yell at us.
Or they can just do it while they're listening to this now. Just yell at your iPod. That's what people still use, right? Their iPods.
Yeah.
They got the
Zoom.
Yeah.
Zoom, whatever. What was that thing called?
It was a Zoom. Zune. Z-U-N-A.
Zune.
Yeah. That was the Microsoft thing, right? Yeah.
Right. They welcome
burn
to
it.
The they
social.
Burn it. They're burning it to mini disc and then listening to it on there.
In their car. In their on their Walkman. okay. We got Voss versus Brand.
Betsema.
Alvarado is going to do 23. We're going to Alvarado. Captains.
Fleur.
Fleur. But those are the top.
Although she's U23 as well now, isn't she?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean,
as is Inga Vanderheiden. I mean, that's another just insane race. You know, you look at the top four in rankings, and they're all going to be racing in the elite race. You go to the next four for the Dutch women, and there's it's like just a toss up for the U23 race.
U23,
right.
Yeah.
Scott, what
Voss
do you think about
versed,
Sophie DeBoer?
I mean, she's a big question mark, isn't she? She has not done much this year, as far as certainly no big podiums, right?
Right.
We haven't seen her on any
coming
big
back
podium
from an injury, right? So is this her chance to prove herself? Or, I mean, every chance is a chance to prove yourself, but does she have it? Has she been climbing enough to put this one in there?
Who knows? But I certainly don't think there's anything that we've seen to make you think that. Bill, would you agree?
Yeah, I would love for it to be completely wrong on this, but I don't see Sophie DeBoer as a factor in this race.
There you go.
So, who you guys is Voss versed Brand? I think that's the podium. I would really like to see Anne Marie versed win.
She was going to be my pick.
Yeah,
she's my pick.
Yeah.
I think that Brand. You got to say Brand worst. I'd say Betsema.
Mariana
Voss is Mariana Voss still.
And I think that with Mariana Voss, I think that you know, we talk about, I'm going to compare this as a bad comparison, but if you compared this to the men's elite field in the U.S. last year, where the goal a lot of the time was to neutralize Tobin, Ortenblad, right? Yeah. There was almost a pact amongst like Hyde and Werner and those guys. Like, we got to make sure that we take care of Tobin and don't let him get out ahead. Yeah, be in a sprint. I think that is almost what you have to do with Voss. If you let Voss get out front, it's over.
So the ABV, I mean, isn't that strategy.
It? She is like, she wants fresh air in front of her when she races, and then is almost unstoppable. And we've seen her sit in. We saw, you know, like that battle she had with Ellen Noble at Trek, where she was a sort of the wily roadie and just sat on her until the last, not even half lap, the last, you know, minute of the race, and then was able to make her move and go around. But I think that's, they have to mark Voss the whole race and then attack her. And you have to constantly attack her, and then you got to do something
to gap her before the end, you know, before the final move. If you wait till the final move and you're still with Voss, your chances of winning are very low. I think Sonny Kant doing it at Worlds is one of the few times we've seen it. And, you know, I think you got, like, I totally agree with you, Bill. You got to do something to get a gap on her in the last lap, or something so that you have a gap on her in the last lap, a gap that she can't close down. That's the other thing.
What was that race recently where it was, she just kept rolling back through the field? And, you know, it's just amazing. When she had the mechanical out in the forest. Right. Oh, Zolder.
Yeah.
Yes. So, I mean, you got to have a gap that somehow she, for some reason, she can't close down on you in order to really take her out of the equation. Otherwise, she's always in the mix.
Yeah.
You know, she'll close a 9-second gap. No, that's just the same as riding with her, basically. I mean, she'll close that on you in nothing flat. So I think, yeah, that's hard to do.
Right? I want to pick worse, but I almost see this destiny as Marianne Vos returning, getting the Dutch national championship and winning Worlds again. It seems like that's the script we're following from this season.
That's the script of the season that goes all the way back to Trek, right? The Trek World Cup, right? Could be. I mean, for sure. That definitely could be. I still want to see Verge to win. David, any comments?
No. I've made my comments. I think that ultimately I think Betsema is gonna play a part in this.
Yeah.
That would be cool. That would be really cool. I mean, that'd be great for the Dutch women's, you know, cyclocross. I think that would be awesome. So
it's a great story. She's a great racer too. It's not just like that feel good story. She's got a legitimate shot at it. She's a really strong racer.
Yeah. Let's talk about
how much sand is there. I haven't seen the course. Have you seen the course, Bill?
I don't. For the Dutch, it seems like it's a forest course. So it looks pretty technical, pretty hilly. I know, like, Katie Compton was out there riding around it and checking out the descents. And
That was cool. I saw that. Yeah.
So, but I think it's going to be, if I had to guess, I think something like Valkenburg would be similar.
Okay.
That seems to be the Dutch style of cyclocross
track. The Dutch pattern. Yeah. And, you know, let's not forget, between now and Worlds, we still have two World Cups.
That's crazy. Like, that's why, you know, and I was jumping the gun because I'm like getting ready for Worlds and stuff. But yeah, and we were like, and Scott, you were like, are we really going to talk about Worlds today? I'm like, no, we probably shouldn't. Let's just talk about all the upcoming nationals. We still got a lot of work to do before we get to Worlds. A lot can change.
Right. Exactly. So, all right. Was there any other nationals that we wanted to cover that we haven't looked at?
Do we know if, I'm assuming, yeah, he is. Thomas Pidcock's racing in the U23.
I was going to say the British men might be something to mention. Yeah.
What about the British women?
Well, I think,
but British men.
Yeah, sure.
No, but let's look at the British men.
Okay. Because I think who's the most top? Pidcock, he is racing U23. Know that?
Yeah.
All right. That's because he could win the elite.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
That's an interesting. I mean, because he's been racing so much elite anyways, that's kind of an interesting choice by him, I think.
Well,
Well, when you look at who his biggest competition is, it's probably Ben Turner. I mean, Ian Field is Ian Field, right? But Ben Turner's his biggest competition. They're both U23s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree. But they could, you know, they could both win.
Yeah, and Dan Tullett, too.
Yeah, yeah. And then is Ian Field the highest ranked?
Pidcock's the highest ranked.
Oh, Pidcock, yeah, that's true. Pidcock is above him, then Ian Field. Or is Turner above Field, too?
No, it's Pidcock, Field, Turner.
I'm still trying to figure out what exactly they're listed under. I was like, United Kingdom, no. England, no. Oh, Great Britain. There we go.
Great Britain. Yeah, I don't know. I think with those two racing U23, I think Ian Field has got to still be the favorite.
Yeah, it's Ian Field, Grant Ferguson are your top two. Field 58th in the world, Ferguson 118th in the world.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, you look, it's kind of funny. You look at the U23 race, and they're the ones that have teams listed. They're the only ones on UCI team. So you got Pidcock on his own on TP right. Racing. You got Ben Turner, as you mentioned, 75th in the world for Corindon, and then
Thomas Main,
yeah, for that Tartaletto. So that's Van Steen's team.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, and then younger brother.
And then
Daniel Tullett also on TP Racing.
For the British women, I think Brammier, of course, right?
She's having a great year.
Yeah, she
is.
What
a comeback year.
The thing that I'm really impressed with her season is the consistency. She is top five, almost every race, it seems.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just she's there every single race and is always, you know, up at the front over and over again. I don't know that she's had a really bad race all year. Does she have a really big win, though, this season? I don't think so. But I think if you look at her season as a whole, it's a very impressive year, you know. Evie Richards, of course, not going to be there.
Not racing,
right? She had her surgery.
Yep.
That sounds like it went well, and hopefully we see her back. What's her deal with mountain bike season? Do we know?
Well, I think that's why the surgery was now.
Because the focus is the mountain bike.
Yeah, because that's number one primary goal, especially this is such a huge year for her and for all the mountain bikers. And, you know, she's going to be racing elites, and mainly racing elites, not because she has to, but because that's how she's going to qualify for the Olympics. You know, this is the in our sort of 4-year build up. This year, 2019, is like the big pressure year for international mountain biking because they're all trying to make their Olympic teams.
Their Olympic teams. So with her, I mean, the other thing is, I don't know what Harriet Harnden is doing. She's still a junior, right? She's 18.
She's 18.
So
the phenom is Anna Kay in 53rd, who had a great race, I think, in Brussels. Did really well. And she's still U23, so she's won. You know, as we start looking towards Worlds, that's going to be another possible.
So she could be a good pick
there.
To win that U23.
Yes, I think that she is.
Yeah.
You know, with Evie out, I think that. Yeah. Anna Kay definitely is probably the favorite in that U23 race.
And then Harnden probably for juniors.
Yeah.
I think that's the main British women, don't you think? I can't think of anybody else. So, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Any other nationals?
I mean, it's always going to be a good battle, though, between Wyman and Brammier up at the top,
and,
though.
How did we not mention Helen Wyman, for goodness sake? do we know, is Neff racing the Swiss Nationals?
I think my understanding is she's just gonna keep on racing and race Worlds as well. I could be wrong in that, but I think that she's in it for the long haul here.
Yeah, I mean, she's in the top 50 place at this point. She's really been tearing it up.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know.
Yeah, so I mean, I think if she's in there, she's going to be the favorite for the Swiss women. Right?
Yes.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
There's no one I don't
Nicole Kohler's, it's 66th in the world. So, yeah, and it's.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's her closest. What about the Swiss men? Do we know any? I don't know any, though. I can't think who would be there. Who's the highest ranked Swiss?
Lars Foster.
Okay. Lars Foster is good. I mean,
41st in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he'd be a good pick there. And then Marcel.
Yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Wildhaber? 40.
Wildhaber.
So. Wildhaber. All right. Anybody else? Any other countries? Anything we missed? Any Italy? I think Lechner? Or is Arzufi going to take it?
I think Arzufi takes that. I mean, Lechner's having an amazing year. I mean, moving to that Belgian team has done wonders for her. She's come from, you know, sort of mid-pack, and it looked like career maybe starting to wind down to just having this resurgence this year. I'm not positive, but I think that because she's on this Belgian cyclocross centric team, she may not be racing mountain bike, at least at the World Cup level. So that really, if that's true, and this now is her primary concentration, that may be another reason that she's starting to have a better year if her training is moved, you know, to cyclocross as opposed to mountain bike.
Which is really interesting, given everyone else going the opposite direction for Olympic hopefuls.
Yeah, but it's, you figure, yeah, oh, for sure. And that's a really interesting point as well, because you got to look at what Italy has to offer as far as who her competition would be for mountain bike for women and making that Olympic squad. Yeah, she's definitely one to keep an eye on to see what she does come summer.
Yeah. And that race at the front end of that, Arzufi and Lechner, they're 7th and 8th in the world. That's a tight race right there.
If I had to choose, I think I just think Arzufi's having a great season.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Bill.
And they've gone back and forth, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far I'm saying, as far as national championships go, because
they've traded.
Yeah, they've traded that off, so that should be a good battle.
Sure. All right. Is that it? Are we good with nationals? Anybody else we want to mention, or any other head-to-head battles that we can think of? If not, Bill, I think we should end with why U.S. nationals should be in Europe.
Okay. Can we say that Felipe Orts is going to win the Spanish national championship?
There we go. Yeah. There we go.
He's actually 14th in the world. That guy is having, you know, from when we saw him podiuming at the World Championship U23, he's kept on it in cyclocross and is still out there, still mixing it up, which is pretty awesome.
That is cool. I think he's definitely someone to watch for Worlds. You know, that'll be a good guy to watch. So
yeah, I sort of opened up a can of worms, didn't I?
I know, Bill. What do you think?
Go ahead, set the stage. Give us the backstory on this.
Tell us the backstory.
The backstory is, I don't know if this happens with you all, but sometimes when you're just like after a race, or not race, after a ride or after a run, and you're sort of in the shower, and that's when like these brilliant ideas come. And for most people, they just kind of stay in the shower.
but for me, you have a website. Down the drain, could you?
That's right. Somehow I ported my shower ideas into to the World Wide Web. Here's what I was thinking. Like a couple things that we always hear about U.S. Trying to become more of a factor in world cyclocross. You know, how do we accomplish it? You know, we have Katie Compton, who obviously has done this, but she also lives half, if not more, of the season in the Netherlands. We have Jonathan Page, who did it with great success, got second in the world, you know, after his run living in Belgium for many years. So what the complaints that we hear a lot is to travel. You have to go to Europe, then you have to go back to the U.S., and then you have to go back to Europe. You know, so my idea was, okay, well, if we had the, and let's just, two things that we just need to get out of the way. One, money exists. Okay, let's just say all of a sudden that Bezos and Amazon gave $10 million to USA Cycling just for cyclocross. And, okay, so boom, yes. We got money.
All right.
So the idea was, okay, everybody is going to get better if they're in Europe. So we'll just say, you guys just go to Europe and you don't have to come back. We can do our domestic season and you go to Europe and we'll have nationals in Europe. So have them in Belgium. It'll be awesome. And all the Belgians will show up because it'll be like some, you know, hipster ironic thing where they can say, hey, let's go watch the Americans race. Won't this be crazy? And it'll be an oddity. And they'll all come out because there's beards and long hair and that kind of stuff. And they like that kind of stuff. So they'll come out and watch the races. And then they'll also be able to bet on the races because it's not just going to be Matthew Vanderpool riding off the front. There's actually, you know, different odds that can be made on who's going to win the men's or the women's and U23 and all the way down. And then if you're there, if you're like a pro tour or world tour road racer, you're living in Europe, you're on those training rides, you're getting in racing all the time, and you're sort of in the culture, and you're doing it, but it's, you know, you're not alone. Everybody else is there. And then I think through that system, we start to build riders who can compete more consistently on the world level. Will this ever happen? No.
Well, here's an... I'm wondering, too, what would... Would it be open to anybody that wanted to go race it?
I think you have to qualify.
I think you have to qualify. I think you start, if you want to take it seriously, you start doing like what the Belgians do and other countries do, where you're like, okay, you know, this is, you have to have a contract to be able to, you know, something along those lines. We would have qualifications to actually race in Elise. And the other thing I forgot to mention that really sort of spurred this thinking in my head was that we got a lot of complaints after Louisville from elite racers. So it's kind of funny because some of the elite racers are like, oh, no, we have to do it in the U.S. And then at the same time, after the races happened in Louisville, they were like, we need to have our own race without all of these amateurs racing on our track. We need to have our own dedicated race so that we have a clean track and it's not, you know, it hasn't been hundreds of people tromping through the mud in front of us, so it's just not a running race. I mean, that was the criticism we heard.
And I think that idea is probably just as likely to not happen as
so from there it was okay, we want to have our own elite cyclocross nationals, have the amateur and all the grade-based categories on one weekend and then somewhere else have the elites another way. And then everybody always says, well, how do you pay for that? Because we, you know, fund these things. Basically, the elites get funded on the backs of the amateurs. That's how these things work. You need those registration fees to pay for the elites. But if you don't have them showing up, then you can't pay for it. So my idea was you go to Europe, people pay to go to races. So there you have that revenue stream and go from there. But we also have the $10 million from Jeff Bezos, so that helps too.
I like my idea better of moving Masters to Monday.
Yeah, so afterwards,
yeah. That's probably a little more realistic. Not that we care about reality, but, you know.
But I think, you know, I think it's an interesting thought thing. It makes you think about a lot of things. I totally agree with you, though. It's not going to happen. But, yeah, it's just kind of an interesting, like you said, if you're going to separate them, once you separate them, having them in Europe then would become a more, then it's easier to wrap your mind around, right?
Yeah.
Once you think of them as separate.
Move it to the same time period as the rest of the world's nationals.
Yeah, but I still think for this to work, and this was actually amongst the, I would say, dozens of criticisms that Adam Meyerson had about this idea, the one that I agreed with more because I was just playing devil's advocate for all the other ones, but the one that I agree with the most is that you can't have it on the stage, because I was like, oh, all these people come out because of the Nottity. He was like, well, won't they already be at another race? Because if you have it on the, they're not going to skip Belgian Nationals to go to U.S.
No,
Nationals.
It doesn't have to be the same.
So that's what I'm saying. You need to then petition.
That time of year.
Yeah, you need to petition the UCI to allow it to be the week before. And then I thought it works. And then the other argument, you had some, well, this is what the juniors, you know, it's the juniors go to nationals so that they can see the elites race nationals or race in person. And my thing was like, well, it'll still be televised. You can still see it on TV and you actually be able to see more of the race. And go to some of these UCI races and
then you can see all
of them race there. The three of us go to a lot of these races, and believe me, the spectators vary from okay to not at all. So it's not like there aren't opportunities to go see Stephen Hyde and go see Ellen Noble and Katie Compton in an early season race in the U.S. There are lots of opportunities that I think if you are truly a cyclocross fan or truly want your junior to see the best do what they do, you can find something that's not too far away from you to go watch.
And the beauty of those other races is it doesn't have the pressure that Nationals has.
And there's no $20 armband.
Right, exactly.
And you can find most of them.
You just walk up to the course and watch. You know.
Yeah. So, yeah.
No, I don't. I don't. That's not a good argument, in my opinion.
Yeah, but you know, it was fun. I actually did. I enjoyed the conversation. I enjoyed the debate over it. I just the part of the debate that I don't like is the argument that we can't do this because nothing like this has happened before. It's like, only these people would be there. Or you can't do it because only this has happened in the past. Or who can, that's the kind of thing I'm like, if you're already thinking outside of the box, and that was the exercise here, let's just open up our minds a little bit and allow us to think new thoughts that aren't just weighted down by what has happened in the past. That's the only thing. I was like, I can't argue with that. I mean, I can argue with Adam saying, no one's going to show up because it's the same day as Nashville. That you're absolutely right. That was like, but then we also heard about possibly doing British and U.S. cyclocross nationals on the same day,
There you go. See, I think that would be a cool idea.
And then you get a lot more people watching. Yeah.
Imagine,
and you could understand the feed too.
And then, you could alternate. You could have it one year, have it in Great Britain, mm-hmm. and then the next year have it in the U.S.
Yeah.
Yep. Go back and forth and have U.S. and British nationals on the same day. I'm not talking about intermixing the fields, right? So you'd have, you'd have your junior men's race British, and then you'd have your junior men's race U.S., and then you'd have your U23 women's race British and your U23 women's race U.S., and have a whole day just of that.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. That would be so much fun. I'd go over to England for that, for sure.
2023. We got time.
There
to
we go.
That's where it's happening. All right, we are at
have
50.
It all on the same day, and you'd have you could be the crowds would be making having fun with each other. I think it would be a blast.
We are at 59 minutes. We can do this.
And then at the end of it, you have a relay, an intermixed relay.
There you go. There you go. a Revolutionary War redo.
Right. well, hey, that was good. No, I applaud you for throwing out a thought exercise, Bill, and taking all that flack for that.
We're trying to expand, what is covered over at cxhairs.com to give a little more commentary and opinion, and the thing about that, it's harder because you're not going to be right all the time, and that's I'm okay with that. I'm at an age where I'm okay with that now.
And you know what? It's about opening up discussion, people. We come back to this again and again with instead of being I have a different opinion, it comes to that's stupid.
Yeah.
No, come on. Right. And then I think that's where I sat back in the bleachers and watched the thing develop. And watching you discuss it out with Adam Meyerson was great. You had differences of opinions, but neither one of you was trolling the other and saying, no. Oh, you're just stupid.
No, that is true.
Yeah,
that was good.
All right, gents, is there any other topic we want to cover? Are we calling it at an hour?
Hey, we, you know, as always, came in here. Do we have an hour worth to talk at? And now we're like, we need to cut it off. So
we always, if we just kept the recorder running, because we'll probably chat for another half hour, we'd have 90 minutes.
There you go.
All right. Well, Bill, if people want to get in touch with you or follow you on social media, what's the best way to do it?
To get in touch with me or anybody, any questions or comments you have for the TDDTIE crew, you can just send them to feedback@cxhairs.com. On the social media, I am @cxhairs. And then I would ask that you please go to YouTube and subscribe to cxhairs on YouTube, which is youtube.com/cxhairs. And also check out cxhairs.com itself, because as I said, we're starting to try to put different stuff up there that may interest you cyclocross friends.
All right. David, what about you?
I am at Mr. David Palin on the Instagram and on the Twitter. And as I usually do, I have to kind of just get all sycophantic on Bill and Crosshairs. The coverage that Captain Kudzu got you, or Katsu, got you
Katsu.
From,
yeah,
from Europe was amazing. You guys,
yeah, he did a really good job.
You have put together some of the most talented photographers that I've seen out there on the interwebs, in particular around cyclocross. So big shout out to that. Everyone should go out and take a look at that.
Cool. Cool. And I just want to end it out with saying, hey, if you go to the Wide Angle Podium website, click on the Grim Poor Brothers coffee.
Yes.
Click over there. Go over to Grim Poor Brothers. Buy yourself some of the full Schleck coffee and some of the, say it, Bill.
Hello, cyclocross friends.
Espresso, and it helps the network, it helps the shows, and we really appreciate it. And if you want to get in touch with me, Scott Diedenbach, you can get me at Bike Shop CX on both Twitter and Instagram. We just had a brand new Bike Shop CX podcast hitting the interwebs this morning, so you can check that out and send us your cyclocross tech questions. So there we go, Bill.
And we might have some more wide angle. The fun thing that we're trying to do more of at the Wide Angle Podium is bring everyone together from all the shows and try to do more group activities. We had a little test one the other night that David and I both participated in. But that and Spencer, who is the main guy for Wide Angle Podium, has all of these ideas up his sleeve. So I think the goal for 2019 is to grow that more than just a place to plop all of these podcasts, but really make it a community that all of you can be a part of and participate. And even us, as all of the hosts of these different shows, are coming together and doing stuff together as well. It's sort of like a, you know, battle of the network stars type things. And it's I'm looking forward to even more of those, but what we've done so far has been pretty fun. And once we get to a point where we can roll them out to you, I think you all will dig it.
I want to have a Hollywood Squares game.
God, that's so amazing.
That would be
a great idea.
With nine of us from the network.
We could probably do that just on Skype.
Who would be the center square? Yeah. Bill
would
have
to be the
center
square.
No, yeah. I think
well, Spencer.
I think Tim would be a
good
candidate.
Oh, that would be good.
Oh, that's true, too.
Yes, that would be good. He's the easiest one to make fun of, is that?
Yeah, no. I'll be pointing at him in different directions.
All right, guys. Well, hey, great show. Can't wait to watch the Nationals weekend, and we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good.
See you later.
Bye.